What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the All Elite Podcast, right here on the No Holds Barred Network, your source for all wrestling podcast content and more. I am your host, as always, your self-proclaimed greatest host, Kyle Masters, and I'm alone today. We'll be running the podcast solo. I haven't done one of these solo podcasts in a while, so bear with me as I do this one solo. Tiffany is taking another mental break this week. Wish her well, and she'll be back fired up as always, back to her normal self by Sunday. I believe she's doing a podcast for the No Holds Barred Network, so check that out when she comes back. And then she'll be back with AEP with me very soon, but just for today, I'm going to do this solo. So if you are live in the chat, which I only have the YouTube chat open right now, if you're on Twitch or Twitter, I apologize, I don't have that up right now, but I have the YouTube chat up so I can see whoever's live in there. And if you guys have any comments or anything, I can read them out as well. So I see Kilroy's in there, and I see Cupid Girl in there. So what's up, guys? Again, I'm going to do this solo. I'm going to try my best. We're going to talk about Dynamite. We're going to talk about some other AEW stuff. I think it's been an interesting week for Dynamite. Actually, this morning is really cool. So this morning up in here in Canada, where I live, Dynamite is shown, or AEW is shown on TSN, which is the sports network up here. And this morning on their regular morning sports show, they actually had Tony Khan on the show, and they asked him a couple of things. The one thing that I found out from that interview this morning was a couple of things that are pretty cool. One, I didn't know that the Khan family owned the Four Seasons Hotel here in Toronto, right next door to where I live. So it's crazy how I had no idea they even owned that. And it's probably the most luxurious and most expensive hotel in Toronto, and they own that. So I got to find that out. Also found out that due to COVID, they were actually supposed to do a lot of things not only here in Canada, but around the world. Like UK, they were supposed to do a pay-per-view and a Dynamite. They had something big planned for Toronto in the summer, or this past summer, they had something big planned for something in Toronto. And Tony Khan actually also said that in the future, once COVID does go away and, you know, we're kind of back to normal, that they plan on doing stuff in like Winnipeg and in Alberta, which are two big places here in Canada, you know, wrestling history, obviously, with Winnipeg, with Jericho and Kenny Omega. Those are the two big names in AEW that are from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So he did say that they do plan on doing a lot of big things in Canada in the future. Hopefully when all this COVID mess is behind us and we're all back to normal and we're all going to shows, I cannot wait for that to actually happen. But other than that, we're here to talk some AEW. And yeah, I mean, we're fresh a couple of weeks off of Full Gear. And so far this, I guess you can say this new season, I guess, with the fresh new look and the new intro and everything, it's already kicked off with a bang. Like so far, the last couple of weeks have been really good episodes of Dynamite, I found. Maybe not as exciting, but in terms of storyline building, especially with the women's division, which is the big topic we're going to talk about today, as you've seen in the thumbnail, building a division. I think the women's division is starting to get some attention now, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the upcoming weeks with some of the feuds that have already kind of we've seen start, which we'll get into. But I didn't mind Dynamite last night. I thought it was a pretty good episode of Dynamite. I enjoyed it from start to finish. Or again, there's always little things that you can nitpick here and there, but I think as for right now, they are doing well with the storylines in a lot of the feuds right now. So God, this kind of sucks not being able to talk to someone. Doing solo podcasts actually sucks. Like I always go into it, I'm like, I got this, you know, I can do this solo. It is what it is. But like after a while, it's like, A, like you're talking all the time, so your voice takes a hit. And B, like you kind of like have nothing to bounce off of, right? You have nothing to sit here and talk with. So it's just for 1 week. I can handle it. So we'll get into Dynamite as it comes. But I do want to go over a couple other things that I've seen this week that were pretty cool. One was, I don't know if anyone's seen it. They did release it. I think it was the day before Dynamite. They kind of did like a old school WCW throwback. They had like Cody, I believe, was there for one of them, with Tony Schiavone, and they had like the old school backdrop, like really NWA, kind of like what their backdrop kind of looks like, but when WCW used to do it, I thought that was pretty cool. Kind of give like a big flashback moment. But another cool thing that they announced, this was really cool. I picked this up off Twitter. They're doing a triple threat holiday pass. So this makes me want to like move there so bad. Like I wish I live close by, because this is just amazing what they're doing with the creativeness that they have at hand, with, you know, obviously the 20% capacity and all that. So for $45 plus fees, you get three Dynamite shows. Yeah, all three December shows, and you get tickets for all of them for $45 plus fees. I mean, wow. You get three Dynamite shows for that price. That's usually the price for maybe like a cheap seat at like one wrestling event, but you're getting three shows. God, I wish I lived in Jacksonville. So that was pretty cool. I picked up on Twitter there. Yeah, God, it makes me want to move down so bad. Like, I wish I lived close. God, it sucks being way up here. Why can't we just go back to normal sometime soon? I really hope sometime soon we get rid of this corona mess. It's just painful. It's painful. I know we're all going through it. It is painful. Another cool thing is we found out on Dynamite that we're going to have a themed Dynamite coming up. And that's Winter is Coming. So they're playing off of Game of Thrones, which is interesting. I'm curious to see if there's going to be a cool-looking set, or if everything's just going to be like ice kind of graphics everywhere. But AEW Winter is Coming is going to be the December 2nd themed Dynamite, obviously with the headline match of Kenny Omega, John Moxley for the AEW title, which I'm fired up about. Cannot wait for this match to happen. But yeah, I'm pumped for this. Like, I'm seriously pumped up for that Dynamite. I imagine that we're going to get more than just that headline match. I imagine we'll probably have maybe a tag team championship match with the Young Bucks. I imagine there'll be another headline match. Maybe Cody's going to face. I can kind of see Cody facing, from what went on Dynamite this way, I think you see Cody and Brian Cage for the FTW belt on that Winter is Coming. But yeah, as Kilroy put in the chat there, the Cleaner is back. Yep, they announced him as the Cleaner. Well, Tony Schiavone announced him as the Cleaner. I'm still waiting for Justin Roberts to say it, but he's like basically, I'd say, at 80% back right now. He came out with the glasses. He had a freaking bougie suit on. The guy was like, he was dressed like a champion. So I think the hair, I don't know if it was just me, and I'm losing my mind because I'm a massive Kenny fan and I'm just looking into too many things like I usually do. I think Kenny's hair is going more cleaner-ish with the curls a little bit. I don't know. Mrs. Masters pointed out. I'm like, yeah, I think so. I don't think I remember having him curled that much. But I remember he had a lot of those curls when he was the Cleaner. So, but he had the glasses. The glasses did it for me. I was just like, okay, like, come on. Give us full Cleaner already. Maybe he dyes his hair silver like he did before. We'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, Winter is Coming. It will be the theme of that Dynamite. I mean, for Jacksonville, they don't really have a winter. Like, I don't know how cold it gets down there for Jacksonville in the wintertime, but they're not going to get snow. Like, we're not going to have a snow Dynamite. I'd laugh if they had a fake snow machine and there's like fake snow everywhere and like a fake snow blaster. That would be cool. I mean, that would be something. Cooper Girl in the chat actually put something. I feel like a heel turn is coming for the mysterious attack on Moxley. Yeah, I'll get into that because someone pointed that out on Reddit and then someone retweeted it. Actually, we'll talk about it right now. So on Reddit, someone pointed out, I guess the Reddit user with the name WGSmeister2002. So I'll put it up on the screen if you're watching the video version of this podcast. So this is by my boy, All Elite Kyle. He posted this. He put, Reddit user, that guy, discovered a little detail in the Mox, in the way Mox was lying down that may have revealed his attacker. If you take a look at his leg, it's crossed over, and it looks exactly like the tarot card, the Hanged Man. It may be a subtle hint, or just pure coincidence, as Kyle puts. You know, my boy, List of Kyle's, shout-outs to him. But if you look there on the picture, you can see the way Hangman's leg is and look at the tarot card, the Hanged Man. I love the theory that Hangman possibly attacked John Moxley here, because it kind of fits in with what's going on right now with Kenny, Hangman, Moxley obviously involved. Man, and Tiff, I remember Tiff and I have said it multiple times in this podcast that what if it's Hangman the one to turn? And Tiff, I'm pretty sure it was Tiff that would say it a lot, that she feels that Hangman's going to be the one to turn on and everybody and be that heel. And it kind of looks like the theory fits if they're going to go in that direction. And I do like that direction that they'll go into. I feel like Hangman would be a pretty sweet heel. It would be weird, though, because Kenny kind of looks like he's going full cleaner, unless that's just like a ruse and he's messing with us and he's not going to go full cleaner. You're just going to get 80% of it, and then he kind of goes back. Because he's still like friends with the Young Bucks, and Young Bucks are not kind of quite heel yet either. I don't know. It's really weird, and they're kind of keeping a lot of stuff in the dark, which is good. You don't want to kind of reveal everything. But, man, being Hangman, God, I love that storyline. I love that, as Kilroy put it, a deep cut into this story between Hangman and Kenny. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was Hangman. Like, that tarot card theory, I know it's a little bit out there and a little bit outlandish, but you got, it makes you think, what if it is Hangman? I'd be for it. I don't know about you guys. I'd be all for this. I'd love it. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, and I picked that up. I do have nothing else besides that, I don't think. No. See, this is what kind of stinks. I kind of wish this is where the co-host with me comes into play here, because maybe they have something to say, and it kind of gives me a time to gather my thoughts a little bit and move on to what I need to move on to. But yeah, I'm all for if Hangman's going to go full heel. That would be pretty epic. Not going to lie. I think I kind of want to do one thing, though. So, I don't know if you guys seen, if you're not following my Twitter, you know, that's fine. it's okay with me. I put out that I'm doing something for our Patreon, the No Holds Bar Network Patreon. I'm doing something I've been spending a lot of time on. I've been using WWE 2K19 to build this. I put out basically a poster of what I was working on, and I'm gonna see if I can put it up for you guys for the YouTube version. If you're an audio listener, again, I always thank you guys for listening, but you can get the gist of what I'm gonna say here. So I have this poster that I tweeted out for the AEW and New Japan Supercard that I actually had help with building the matches. So I will give a shout out to my boy Samster there. I'm going to give you another special shout out when I do release this. So shout outs to him. He came up with the kind of the match card, and I played off him. But I'm spending a lot of time in building a AEW New Japan Supercard simulation. I'm going to try to do commentary for it. I'm going to do my best. I don't know if I'm the greatest commentator, but I spent a lot of time with the creations of the characters, their entrances, the arena. Like, I spent the last 2 weeks in building this with countless hours put into it, but I do have a trailer that I'm going to be releasing tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. I will release a trailer for the actual event, and it'll be Patreon exclusive. So if you are a Patreon member already, we've had a couple people sign up. Thank you for signing up, A, and B, you'll be the exclusive ones to see the event. So if you're not, and you can do so by watching, by just becoming a patron of the No Holds Barred Network for as little as $1 a month. You can become a patron, and then you'll get access to all exclusive content. Me and Tiff are going to put more stuff on there. We'll do like exclusive other podcasts, like a relationship podcast that Tiff used to do called That Ass Podcast. We're teaming up with a couple of other podcasters to do kind of like a talking shop episode, where we're just going to get wasted and talk nonsense. So we have a lot of cool things planned for this Patreon, so it's best to get signed up right now for the content that's coming. We are continually at the drawing board with this network. So thank you to all those who have. And if you are thinking about it, please do sign up. Just $1 a month. It's all we're asking. And you can get all that exclusive content. But anyways, what are we, 15 minutes into the podcast? Let's talk about Dynamite. Gotta talk about Dynamite. Again, I thought it was a solid episode. Very solid episode. Young Bucks and Top Flight led the way by opening it. I thought that was a sweet match. Very good introduction for Top Flight, who are a newly signed team to AEW. They had that little cool promo package for them, which I thought was really cool, given like their backstory. The one thing that's interesting, though, is like in the backstory, the one guy like tweeted at Matt Jackson to give them a chance, and like they said like that's what got them the chance. I'm like, okay, so can I tweet at Matt and Nick Jackson to get our podcast officially licensed by them? Should I try that? I don't know. It was weird. I was like, okay, so they just tweeted at Matt and Nick, and that was it. There was no like extensive, oh, maybe we should go watch a couple of their matches, which I imagine that's probably what happened. I'm just saying, for the promo sake of it, the promo package sake, if that's all it takes, man, then Tiff, I know you're watching. I see you in the chat. Let's just tweet at Matt and Nick, and then we'll maybe we can get somewhere. anyways. Again, I thought that was a cool way to open the show. I know Tiff told me that I'm going to love these guys. I like them. I mean, they did a pretty good job against the Bucks. The Bucks did a good job putting them over. I thought it was a very solid match. Like, this was a very, very good tag team match. And those guys are young, 21 and 19 years old, respectively. I mean, God, these guys have a massive, massive future ahead of them. If they're this good now, too, again, they're one of those teams like a Private Party or like a Jurassic Express, like the young guys in AEW that are so young in their early 20s that have so much ahead of them. If Top Flight are good at this point at 21 and 19, like these guys can do damage in the future. So it'll be cool to see what happens with Top Flight. I'm excited for them. They did say during or before the match that Matt was actually not cleared to wrestle last week, so he's got that nagging knee injury. I mean, you can see him limping again throughout the match. Hopefully it's nothing bad and he's able to work through it week after week and he kind of rehabs it in between Dynamite, which I imagine he is. So hopefully Matt Jackson can rehab that leg a little bit more. Let's talk about Orange Cassidy and Kip Sabian. They had a one-on-one match. We know about their whole feud, their whole shenanigans over that that video game. They're still going. I mean, this feud between the best friends and Kip and Miro is still going. Not sure where this is going to end up ending with. I imagine, I mean, there was talks, I remember, at the beginning of this, before the feud with the best friends, about like Kip and Penelope having like a live wedding celebration. I don't know if that's been put on hold and they've thought about other things with this feud, but they're continuing it. Cassidy and Sabian actually tore the house down. I thought they had a really, really good match, probably one of the matches of the night. I was all for it. I thought it was a great match, which we did talk about it. I think it was, I forget which guests came on, because we had a few guests the last couple of weeks, but I forget which group of guests that we talked to that said, you know, like, Orange Cassidy's great. We're not going to not knocking down Orange Cassidy at all. The guy is an amazing wrestler. He's great character. Star gem in AEW. I kind of do still have that thought in the back of my head that I really hope they kind of slow down. Not necessarily slow down that much, but slow down with Orange Cassidy. I feel like he's supposed to be like this spectacle. Like he's got, his matches are amazing. I feel like if we're going to keep putting him week after week after week after week in matches, that's going to run its course and run dry. So I kind of feel they kind of need to pump the brakes a little bit with him. Not pump the brakes in his momentum, but kind of like make him mean more and be that spectacle. Anywho, we'll see where this feud goes. Well, I'm very interested to see where that ends up being. Another cool feud that looks awesome and interesting, and I went nuts when they reunited last night. So Death Triangle, or Triangle de la Muerte, whatever. I can't even say. I can't say it with a Spanish accent. I can't. Spanish accent sucks, okay? As you can just tell. But Death Triangle reunited last night. Pac faced Blade in a pretty solid match. Pac didn't look too rusty, though. That was the one thing. I was interested to see how, if Pac was rusty at all going into this match, because he hasn't wrestled in, 6 to 8 months? And you even think back when before COVID in AEW, like, Pac didn't wrestle a lot. He had that one injury that kept him out a few months as well. Like, Pac has not wrestled a lot in like the last year. So I was interested to see how he was going to transition that into this match, his first match back, and he looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty good. The one thing he didn't do, though, was the Black Arrow. I don't know if he wasn't, if he didn't think he was set up properly in the turnbuckle. You saw at the end there, all he did was a shooting star press. That's usually the spot where he does the Black Arrow into the God, I forget the something Iser. I always forget his damn, his always second finishing move. But into that submission move. But he didn't do it. Which I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is rust and he just hasn't kind of had practice doing it more lately, or if he wasn't set up on the turnbuckle. I don't know. It looked weird because he took a while. And usually when he's on the turnbuckle taking a long time to set up, he's getting a Black Arrow underway. But then he just does a shooting star press, which for guys like him and his style of wrestling, it's easy to do. They can do that in their sleep. So I don't know. It was weird that there was no Black Arrow. He just kind of did the shooting star press. Still cool. Still a great match. Ends the brutalizer. Thank you, Tiff. And then we saw at the end, butchering with names right now. Rey Fénix came out, and then eventually Pentagon came out with the chair, and then it kind of looked like he was on the side of Eddie Kingston, and he goes and attacks Eddie Kingston, and then we get Death Triangle back together. We got the theme music, so I actually popped for that. I'm a big fan of those three, so kind of looks like now we're getting the feud of Death Triangle against Eddie Kingston with the Butcher and the Blade. I'm very curious to see where that ends up going as well. I mean, we have two basically bad guy feuds, basically two heel teams here going at it with each other. So I'm interested to see where this goes in terms of storylines for sure. Something else that happened as well on Dynamite was the Inner Circle doing Vegas. Like this was entertaining. This was another, like, Jericho and MJF together have created some very, very entertaining TV. And I just have to take a sip of water here. Just apologize. It's what happens when I'm doing this alone. This was very, very entertaining. They've created some entertaining TV the last couple of weeks, Jericho and MJF. This was just as entertaining. I was laughing at so many different parts of this. They kind of did multiple shots throughout Dynamite. We had multiple scenes with this. They played off the Hangover movie. Like, I mean, they had to at that point, right? Like, you're doing Vegas celebrating with a bunch of guys, the Inner Circle, which kind of like the Wolfpack in the Hangover movie. You know, like, they were going to do something Hangover. I'm just glad it didn't go full Hangover, but they kind of played off it a little bit. We had some cool cameos, like Conan from the original LAX was pretty cool. I loved seeing him in there. They got a little intoxicated and smoking that wacky tobacco. That was pretty funny. Then there's that alcohol competition between MJF and Jericho, which led them to drink Everclear, which was freaking hilarious. There's the rooftop scene that they kind of copied the Hangover with. Then waking up in the villa was my favorite part, because I honestly almost pissed myself laughing at when Jericho walked by Santana feeding the chickens in the hotel room there. I lost it. I lost it. I lost my shit at that point. I was done. I was howling. That was the best part of the whole thing in my eyes. And then right at the end, there's that baby part. So they mimicked the baby part from the Hangover movie. And there's my boy Dylan Postel, or AKA Hornswoggle, who is the baby. At least I think it was him. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 95% sure that was him. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, if someone's in the chat or listening after. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was Hornswoggle. It was great. It was just fantastic TV. I was all for it. I'm glad that they separated out throughout the night of Dynamite 2 to get you keep watching. So that was also really cool how they did that. That was just amazing. So yeah, Kilroy telling me that it was the swoggle. Another interesting thing that happened on Dynamite I want to talk about. This kind of caught me off guard and threw me in a loop, because I thought it might happen, but I didn't think it would happen tonight. So there's the whole Cody Rhodes Darby thing. They're feuding with Team Taz. It kind of looks like now Cody's leaning, probably going maybe towards going to go after the FTW belt against Brian Cage. So there's a beatdown, and then Will Hobbs came out for the save. And then Will Hobbs is the one that turned on Cody and Darby, ends up joining Team Taz, which kind of threw me in a loop, because I'm like, okay, like I I kind of had that thought in the back of my head that, like, it would be cool if Will Hobbs turned, but I wasn't expecting it at that point. Like, that threw me off guard, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. We got Will Hobbs, fresh meat, new guy in the company. What are we going to do? We're going to have him turn on one of the biggest guys in the company, Cody Rhodes, hit him in the head with the chair, and join Team Taz. I think it's a great way to get him off his feet. Great way to get this kid started in AEW with a fantastic storyline and a main event storyline. Will Hobbs is good. Like, he's no, like, walk in the park, this guy. He's for sure great talent and great signing. I can't wait to see what they do with him with this, because now Team Taz just keeps growing. They got Team Taz is actually a sick team. Like, it's a sick faction. They got Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, and now Will Hobbs. Like, this is a scary team here. I know AEW is all about their factions. They love their factions. We got Team Taz getting that much better. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out. Now, going back to that Vegas thing, now Kilroy in the chat, but they should have had Honky Tonk Man for Elvis. You know what's hilarious? I actually thought that was Honky Tonk Man at first. I'm like, did they really get Honky Tonk Man to do this? I honestly thought it was him, but they got some really good Elvis impersonator, because he had a really good voice for it too. And I think I saw a picture that said, like, it was like the Is All Elite picture, but it was like Elvis is in the inner circle, which was pretty funny. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm very curious to see what they do with Will Hobbs now, because that really caught me off guard. It really got me saying, okay, I like the way they did that. I love that. That's something new. It's something different. I like that. But man, Nightmare Family, not looking good. They have been in rough shape. I mean, they had Cody getting attacked and blindsided by Will Hobbs, and they had Brandy getting just demolished by the new girl, Jade Cargill, which leads me to talking about the main topic today, guys, and that's the division, the women's division. I think it's building. I think what we saw last night is a indication and a good first step at we're going about to get more women's storylines and more women's division building in this company. And I think this is huge. Again, all it took was a little bit of patience. I know everyone kind of freaks out right off the bat. It takes a little bit of patience with this, especially with a new company, but I think this is it. This is the initial step. We're getting the first step in building this, because we have now like three storylines in this women's division with potentially of growing and having more storylines. So we had the NWA title match last night, which was great. We had Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb is a stud, signed to AEW, is the NWA champion. I was kind of thinking she was going to lose the belt last night and kind of go towards maybe feuding with Sheeta or having a title shot against Sheeta, but they kept the belt on her and they had Thunder Rosa lose. But now, which creates some more curiosity here, during the match, Britt Baker actually attacked Thunder Rosa, and I'm like, oh, okay, what is actually going on here? Like, I understand if, you know, they're going to do, like, a one-off and have, like, what if, like, Thunder Rosa won, she got their belt back, and then she'd face, you know, Britt Baker once for the NWA belt, then that would be ending. But it kind of, something's interesting here. Something is, I don't know, I felt like, okay, why, if Thunder Rosa, if there's all this talk about Thunder Rosa, what's going on with her, where is she going, and all this stuff. I know that they're building a partnership between Billy Corgan and Tony Khan and AEW and NWA. I kind of like that they're using a few of their talent to kind of come over and create some storylines within it. I know that there's some women in AEW that kind of, you know, you wish they would be two AEW women feuding with each other, but I think this still creates the potential to kind of lure Thunder Rosa over to AEW at the end of her contract. So I think there's still something at play here. As for the NWA title match, I thought it was really good. It was very good. I mean, I love Serena Deeb. I think she's obviously an experienced veteran. She's really good still for her age. She can move in the ring. Glad that she's part of the AEW roster. It's a little bit weird out that she's still the NWA champion. So we have that building, and then Baker and Rosa still gets me in a loop. I'm like, okay, what is going on here? I know we're probably going to get more clarification over this, but Baker just going right after Thunder Rosa for whatever reason. We'll see what happens with this. I'm very curious to see where that goes. And then they also announced that Anna Jay had that one segment with Anna Jay and freaking John Silver is hilarious. I love him. This guy's freaking a bright star in the Dark Order. That one segment with Anna Jay. Anna Jay is actually going to face Hikaru Shida for the championship next week. So we're getting Anna Jay finally getting a title opportunity. So there's another woman being used that we've been screaming for her to do something. There's something there. And then we have Brandi and Jade Cargill, which we saw in that little attacking skit with that the Big Swole kind of got involved as well. So maybe they're going to do something with Big Swole and Jade Cargill right off the bat. Because it kind of looks like Brandi is now going to be out of commission with that arm. She put her arm in the chair, and Jade Cargill did that like step on it. And she was really hurt. I don't know. It was really interesting. So we have three things going on, and we had multiple things happening. There was multiple things happening with multiple different women. So they're featuring more women. We're getting more the start, I think, of some storylines. I think we're going to have to kind of be patient and wait, because now we're going to need some more clarification on some feuds. Can't just give it all to us in one night. I mean, it'll just ruin the feud. They can't give everything in one night. We kind of have to wait. That's what the long-term story building is. We wait and see what happens with storylines. We get a little bit of a taste of something, and then we wait till the next week and see how it develops. So there's multiple things happening. I'm glad Anna Jay is getting a title shot. I like to see some more women get involved, a lot of more AEW women's, like girls like Nyla Rose finally get something going, even though she scares the hell out of me. Abaddon, I'd like to see her get involved in some stuff. Kylan King, I've seen a lot of her in AEW Dark. I don't know what their plans with her, but maybe get her going. And then I think Penelope Ford, I think she needs a feud. She kind of needs to get away from that whole situation over there, but I think until that feud's done, we're not going to see anything with Penelope Ford, so we kind of have to wait until that dies off, and then we'll get, hopefully, something with her. So, again, it's another patiently waiting game with that. But again, I thought they did a pretty good job with creating more storylines. I mean, it's better we got this than nothing at all, guys. We can't complain about what we got last night. They could have easily just given us a random women's match like they have been, and with no explanation, no storyline, and that's it. Cut it at 5 minutes, that's it. But what we had a long NWA title match with really good wrestling. We got Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa starting. We got Hikaru Shida and Anna Jay announced for next week. We got Jade Cargill just wreaking havoc on her second night on Dynamite, creating shit with the Nightmare family, and then Big Swole getting involved. And I think I saw Nyla in there too, so I don't know if she's going to get involved somehow. We have multiple things happening with multiple women, so they're kind of listening to us. We've been screaming that they want more stuff with the women's division. They're giving it to us. So I think they did a good job with doing that. And again, they can't give everything to us in one night. We kind of have to wait as this thing goes. So I have faith that we're going to get a lot more women time on AEW, as we should in the future. So I'm excited to see what happens with this. I'm very, very excited. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to me. Like if Thunder Rosa is truly fully an NWA, I know they're doing a partnership, but with her starting a feud right away with a girl that's not a champion, I mean, neither of them are champions, Britt Baker or Thunder Rosa. My estimation is that Thunder Rosa, they're going to start a storyline with Thunder Rosa wanting to go after Hikaru Shida for that championship. So I think that Britt and her are going to battle in some sort of number one contendership match. Maybe it's next week, and maybe at Winter Is Coming, we get Shida against the winner of that, or maybe at a future Dynamite. That's just kind of my assumption. I'm thinking we're going to get, that's probably where that's going, is Britt and, Britt and Thunder Rosa, battle out for number one contendership for the AEW title. So I'm interested to see where that goes. Cuba Girl asked in chat, so here's a question. If NWA does partner with AEW, does that mean that Marty might come soon? I don't know how that works. I don't know what the deal is with Marty Scurll. I know with all that speaking out movement that's happened in the past, I don't know if that's been pushed under the rug. I think Cuba Girl, it's all going to come down to what Tony Khan feels is good publicity, and if he wants to work with him. I don't know what goes on backstage. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, yeah. Yeah, Sienna and Sheeta would be fire. You're right. Kilroy puts, it might be part of the NWA deal that they allow Rosa to come over if they use the belt. Yeah, but like, I don't know if Rosa's going to be going after Serena Deeb now after this. It kind of feels like her and Rosa are going to stick together and the NWA title's not going to be involved. Or maybe Serena's involved in that one. I don't know what's going on here. Again, it's cool to not know though, right? It's cool to think and get your gears grinding, going, okay, so this creates good storytelling and good creativeness in the women's division. Like, we're sitting here thinking of two different, like, all these different ways that they could do this, and it makes us want to tune in each and every single week to see where they go. So I am loving this. I'm all for it. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, Rosa, like, you're right, Kilroy. Maybe Rosa ends up winning the AEW belt off of Sheeta. I mean, they have an AEW roster person holding the AEW belt. Why not have an NWA woman hold on to the AEW belt or have that for a while? I like that. I like that, to me, is good partnership. It's good promoting both brands. So we see how many times they've had the NWA title match on AEW, like multiple times. I think at least four or five times now. So we'll see what happens. God, my voice is already getting so dry. It sucks doing a lone podcast. I don't know how some people do podcasts alone, man. This really stinks. Maybe I just can't do it. Anyways, nothing much else happened on Dynamite that's worth talking about. Again, I'm curious to see how a lot of these storylines and everything on Dynamite goes on. It looks like we're at the start of this new kind of season. Fresh start, fresh storylines. With the big theme pay-per-view, AEW Winter is coming December 2nd, which is like in 2 weeks now. I'm pumped. AEW is going in the right direction. I cannot wait to close out 2020 and see what they do. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following this podcast on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, at All Elite Pod. If you're watching the video version of this podcast, there is a logo reference. Make sure you're following us on the correct social medias. If you're wanting to take us on the go and listen to us on the go, the No Holds Barred Network is available on all podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you're getting your podcasts, search the No Holds Barred Network. You will get the All Elite Podcast and all the other wonderful podcasts we offer on this network. So go check that out, guys. Make sure you're checking out the No Holds Barred Network store. A lot of cool items on there. We got like stickers, coffee mugs, hoodies now that it's the cold season. There's tank tops available, t-shirts, a lot of cool things there on our Teespring store. Link is located in the YouTube description of the video version of this podcast. So go there, click it, you'll get to the No Holds Barred Network Teespring store. And I just want to give also a special shout out each and every single week to my boy Darren and This Wolf. They sing the song, Dead to Me, which is the official theme song of the No Holds Barred Network. So thank you, Darren, for letting me use that song each and every single week here on AEP. So guys, go ahead, give him a follow and shout outs to him on all his socials and his music platforms. So yeah, it's not the same doing that without Tiff, the yeah part at the end of the podcast. Can't wait for Tiff to come back. Cannot wait. We'll see what happens with that in the future. So guys, make sure you're paying attention. You're following us on our social medias. We'll release any updates concerning podcasts or whatnot. Like I said, tomorrow I'm going to release a trailer for the New Japan Pro Wrestling AEW Supercard that I'm going to be doing and doing a big simulation of. And it'll be exclusive to our Patreons. Make sure you sign up for our Patreon, the No Holds Barred Network Patreon. So go over to the Twitter account at NHB Network. Sign up. As little as $1 a month supports the network, and you get all the exclusive content that we'll be posting on there. That's going to wrap it up for me, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Thank you for sticking with me as I did it alone today. Again, if you're watching back, thank you very much. If you're one of our on-the-go listeners, thank you for downloading the episode. You guys are all appreciated each and every single week here on the podcast. And shout-outs to our current patrons that are subscribed to the No Holds Barred Network. You guys are awesome. So, guys, it's going to wrap it up for me. I'll see you guys next week right back here in another episode of the All Elite Podcast on Thursday nights. You know where to find us, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter. I'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.